today as we come to the table.
I never felt worldwide oppression until this whole COVID thing happened. Again, wherever you stand on all those issues is not my point, but didn't you feel the oppression worldwide when that happened? I've never, of course, you say, yeah, we're only one generation, so we say we never felt that. I don't know that there's ever been worldwide oppression like that. I believe it's one of these leaning into the contractions that are coming for the new kingdom. And you could feel the entire world together. You could feel kind of this police world, if you will, this kind of control that was trying to be exerted on mankind. It wasn't quite yet allowed by God, so it backed off, if you will, but you could palpably feel it.
During the end times, there will be a control exerted on the world by mankind that will be oppressive. We felt a little of that control during COVID. The world was controlling man's lifestyle. They made everyone obey. God did not allow it to continue at this time, but in the end times, it will happen again and oppress us. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark assures us of two things from Scripture. The first truth is, these oppressive, controlling times are coming. The second encouraging truth is, we can escape them. These times are for those who are saved after the rapture, and those of us who are Christians will not have to endure them. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Those that are here after the rapture takes place, they're going to be hearing his pompous words the entire 7 years. Imagine what it's going to be like for them. They're going to be glad when this guy's finally silenced and shut up. The oppression that he brought on them, the weight that he brought on them, all the things that he brought down. You know, again, this whole picture of the Antichrist, again, we're going to be glad when he's finally silenced once and for all. And notice it says his body was given to the burning flame. That is the Antichrist as well as this beast given to the burning flame. And the Bible tells us in Revelation that the false prophet and the Antichrist will be the first two that are thrown into the lake of fire. Now, some explanation. We grow up hearing that when you die, if you love God, you go to heaven. If you don't love God, you go to hell. We hear that growing up. So in our mind, we think that those who died without God are in hell. That is not the case. Now, they will be one day, but no one, the Bible says, no one is in the lake of fire yet. And by the way, Hades is different than the lake of fire. When you read Hades in the scripture, it's referring to a holding tank until judgment day. That's where the unbeliever goes. The Bible says in Revelation, all those in Hades will be called up to stand before him at the great white throne. Then they'll be cast into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is what we know of as this place we grew up hearing about called hell. But nobody's there yet. It's completely empty at the moment. The unbeliever goes to Hades. The believer goes to be with God in the kingdom of God. And so the first one that will go in is going to be, it says, the Antichrist and the false prophet. We get, again, the Antichrist thrown in here to the burning flame. We find out in Revelation that the second one is the false prophet. They will literally be in there by themselves for 1,000 years. And that'll be while the Lord is ruling and reigning on the earth. They'll be the only two in there. The others that don't know God will be held in Hades. We will be on the earth having the 1,000-year reign. And of course, during that time, the Bible says, again, that the Lord will also take Satan and lock him up. Can you imagine having Satan locked up with no temptations from the enemy and nothing to interfere with us for that 1,000 years? Again, it's going to be a wonderful time. And again, there's a theology out there, again, called amillennialism. You guys have probably heard about it. They believe that we're currently in the millennial kingdom with Jesus ruling and Satan locked up. Now, again, I think you have to look at reality to determine if a theological position is correct. And I would simply say this. If Satan is locked up, as Pastor Chuck used to say, he has an awfully long chain. And certainly this does not feel like a millennial kingdom to me when I look around the world, does it you? And so, again, I think we need to stick with the literalness of the scriptures and not try to allegorize. That's where we get off, and that's where we get into our problems. But again, the Antichrist will be thrown in, and then finally everyone judged the rest at this great white throne judgment when the rest will be thrown into the lake of fire, as it says in Revelation. Now, notice this, verse 12, it says, as for the rest of the beasts, that is the other kingdoms, They had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Now, this is, a complicated verse. I don't know that I fully understand it. I don't know that other commentators fully understand it. Because it appears that there's something going on here, a lapse between the kingdoms. I think probably the explanation lies somewhere in that. We do know this, that in this final kingdom, there's going to be a mixture of all of those kingdoms in it. And so they're going to still be remaining. Even though that kingdom falls and the Antichrist is down, it's that picture, I believe, of all of the kingdoms mingled into one. What do I mean by that? Again, in this final kingdom, you're going to find elements of Babylon. You're going to find elements of Medo-Persia. You're going to find elements of Greece and, of course, of Rome wrapped up in all of them. And by the way, if you look at our culture today, that's what you find today. You can find elements of Babylon in today's culture. All these different, we don't have time to go into a separate study there, but they're all there wrapped up into one. And so I believe he's talking here about certain elements and when those elements will be finally taken away and the Lord takes his throne. And look at verse 13. He says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Now, what a picture this is. We have Jesus approaching the Father. Now, there's that whole problem of the Trinity. How does our mind wrap around that? Again, we'll understand it when we get there, but the Ancient of Days refers to the Father. Jesus was referred to in the Scriptures as the Son of Man. He referred to himself mostly as the Son of Man when he walked on the earth. And he even said, if you remember, when he was standing before the high priest and all, he told them, you will see Caiaphas. He said, you'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of glory. So again, this is the Lord now approaching the Father. And the Father's about to give him the reins to the kingdom. He's about to turn over the kingdom to him. Imagine us being there and the celebration and the worship and the excitement as we're watching this take place. And it says, then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all peoples, nations, and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. So when he takes over, that's it. We're done. Isn't that great? I love it. How exciting that is. Now, we have the advantage of knowing what the angel revealed to Daniel, what the Spirit revealed to Daniel. So we talked about it in the first part of chapter 7. Now we're going to see where it was explained to Daniel. And notice, we're going to see Daniel's view go right back to this fourth beast, which is the one that had his attention the most fearful beast, which again is the kingdom still yet to come upon this earth. Notice verse 15. He said, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near to one of those who stood and asked him the truth of all this. And he stood and told me the interpretation of these things. Notice what he says. He says, those great beasts which are four kings which arise out of the earth. We talked about the kingdoms, but led by these kings. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and forever. And then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast. Here he goes again. I can't get this out of my mind. It just haunts me, he's saying. Which was different from all the others. Look at how he describes this. The adjectives, exceedingly dreadful. So way beyond, much more dreadful than the other three. I think about the kingdoms and the things we've seen that have been dreadful throughout world history. Nothing compared to what's coming. By the way, again, as I said, there's good news at the end, so don't worry. Exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze. Those are fierce weapons to use. Which devoured, broke in pieces, and trampled the residue with its feet. Remember we talked last week about this whole imagery of just overpowering the entire world and trampling it, even the residue. You think, how in the world could he overpower the entire world and know all things? You know, I used to wonder, how's the Antichrist going to keep up with everybody? How's he going to know who took the mark, who didn't take the mark? How's he going to know who to persecute, who not to persecute, what to do, what not to do? Guys, technology is advancing so rapidly, it's getting very easy to see how this control is going to be exerted on mankind on the earth for those who are left behind and miss the rapture. And what do I mean by that? Again, as you guys know, they're talking about digitizing everything. I mean, the technology is so advanced now, and I don't know if it has anything to do with Elon Musk and all these satellites that he put up. They're digitizing. They're actually giving digital numbers to the trees on the planet. Now, what kind of technology does it take to do that? Imagine the people in addition to that. Now, remember, God knows all the trees. God knows all the people. God knows all the hairs on your head. Satan doesn't know that. He'll never get to that ability or power, but his desire is to be like God. And so he's going to use man's technology to get to it the best that he can. He's going to use this whole digital system. That's why the mark of the beast, so everyone can be tracked. They can't buy or sell. Everything you do is going to be tracked by this. It's all a part of this. That's what this beast is about. And John, that's because of Revelation. Daniel seeing this, John was seeing it too. We'll see that in a moment. But Daniel seeing this going, this is dreadful. How do you combat a beast like this? What does all this mean? I need further understanding as to what this means. And so notice this, it says, and the 10 horns were on its head, and another horn which came up, that is the Antichrist, out of these kingdoms, before which three fell, namely the horn which had eyes and a mouth which speaks pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. Remember the 10 kingdoms that'll be there, 10 regions, 10 kings over those regions, and this little horn rising up, the Antichrist in the midst of it, and bringing this oppression on the world. Guys, you know, I never felt worldwide oppression until this whole COVID thing happened. Again, wherever you stand on all those issues is not my point, but didn't you feel the oppression worldwide when that happened? I've never, of course, you say, yeah, we're only one generation, so we say we never felt that. I don't know that there's ever been worldwide oppression like that. I believe it's one of these leaning into the contractions that are coming for the new kingdom. And you could feel the entire world together. You could feel kind of this police world, if you will, this kind of control that was trying to be exerted on mankind. It wasn't quite yet allowed by God, so it backed off, if you will. But you could palpably feel it. I remember traveling to certain areas that were more oppressed than where we were here in Tennessee. I could feel the oppression when I got off the plane. And I don't know if it's a sensitivity to the spirit or just knowledge of what was going on, but I could feel it. And I thought, Lord, if this is just the very beginning of sorrows, if we're just now entering into what this coming dreadful beast, this forced beast that is going to take over the whole world and make everyone obey and force everyone to do what he says or else be put to death, I don't like this. This is enough for me. I want out. It's almost, I felt like I was banging on the top of some clear bowl saying, let me out of this thing. I don't like this thing I'm in. That's only a tiny taste of what's coming. Again, I'm not saying this to freak people out. Don't worry, I've got great encouragement for you before we're done. And that is the Lord's in control of all of this. But at the same time, this is another reason we should be glad that we're not here. Again, I run now to that scripture in Revelation that says, as the Lord was talking about these days, he said, pray that you may escape these things that are coming upon the earth. And I'm like, Lord, I'm ready to pray. Let me escape these things that are coming upon the earth because I know what they're going to be like and I don't want to be a part of them. And every time I read that verse, I know this, two things. Number one, things are coming upon the earth that are terrible. And number two, he said that I can escape them. And if he said I can escape them, count me in, right? Unashamedly. Well, anyway, notice what happens here. He's wondering, what is this? I need to know. And he describes it again. Look at verse 21. He says, I was watching, and the same horn, that is the Antichrist, the little one that rose up and pulled the three down, was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. Now, hang on. Wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible say that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church? Yeah, this is not the church. The church is gone. That's another reason I believe that we're out of here before this happens. God promised the gates of hell will not prevail. He specifically says he was prevailing. Same word. He was prevailing against them. So who are these saints? These are those, the Bible says after the rapture of the church, there's going to be multitudes that are saved. And so we're gone. Family and friends we've shared with, those that hear the gospel for the first time when the two witnesses rise up and the 144,000 Jews out of Jerusalem get saved, they're going to be coming to Christ. And Satan is going to be able to prevail against them because they're not the church. He's going to be able to do things to them that he can't do to the church. And I'm not talking about just persecution. I'm talking about prevailing over. But notice this, it's going to come to an end, verse 22, until, I love that word, I've got it darkly underlined, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Praise the Lord, is all I can say there, you know. But then look at this, it says, thus he said, now he's going to tell you, okay, that's what it is. Now I'm going to tell you, Daniel, more about this fourth beast. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms. It shall devour the entire earth, trample it and break it in pieces. So not just taking over, but brutalizing. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. Here's the Antichrist. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue three kings. And we know from Revelation, they're going to give their power over to him to be the ruler of all of them. And look at this description of him again. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High and shall intend to change times and law. So we know the persecution against the Jews is going to ratchet up. Remember when he declares that he's God, the Jews will flee to Petra. He's going to do more damage to the Jews than Hitler ever dreamed about doing, the Bible says. The worst in Israel's history, the time of Jacob's trouble. But he's also going to be after the saints and persecuting them as well. But notice this. This is interesting to me. He says he will intend. That means he won't be able to. He will intend to change times and law. Well, what is law? Law is the word of God. He's talking about God wants to take, the Antichrist wants to take these standard practices of God, and he wants to do away with them. Things that have been accepted by mankind on the earth for thousands of years, such as the roles of men and women, who they are, what they do, what they can do, what they can't do. Things like that that are being messed with today in our culture. That is a headwind. Guys, listen, we talk about when the storm's coming, you can feel the headwinds, right? What it's saying is he's going to try to change those things permanently. He's going to remove any difference in male and female, any difference in, he's going to change cultural norms. He's going to do whatever. You say, Mark, that's happening today. No, all you're seeing today are the headwinds. You're feeling the breeze of the storm that's on its way. This beast has started walking and he's pushing air in front of him. And we're feeling now the breeze of that going, why is everybody messing with things that have been set in stone for thousands of years? Why are we questioning the obvious? Why is even biology being questioned? We're throwing science out the window, and yet we're bragging that we're using it. What's going on, right? The headwinds of the storm is coming. And he's going to try to do away with that completely. God won't let him. God will intervene before it happens, but it's going to be greatly underway and then try to be pushed through when he comes on the scene. Now, in addition, notice it says also he'll mess with times. That's an interesting word because that word means sacred occasions. In other words, because he's God, he wants everyone worshiping him and no other God. Has anyone noticed a headwind of, hey, you know, we don't really need to celebrate Christmas and Thanksgiving anymore. We need to do away with them because there's problems with them. Have you noticed that? Listen, it's not about trying to defend Christmas or Thanksgiving. What I'm saying is this isn't a political issue. Those of you who know the Lord have to rise above the clouds and see it from God's perspective. This is a spiritual battle prophesied in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel is saying here, the angel is revealing in the last days before I come back, they're going to try to take even sacred occasions away. They're going to remove any celebration of Jesus Christ or God or any God for that matter and remove it. Any Thanksgiving day set apart for God must be done away with. Instead, use it for shopping. The point is, it's going to be God's word, and it's going to be anything other than worshiping the Antichrist. It's going to be done away with. He's going to try. He will have limited success during that time is what the prophecy is telling us. And notice, then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. We talked about consistency in Bible, expositional constancy. And remember last week, certain terms that are used, whenever you see prophetically the word time or times, the word time refers to a year. So now we know he's talking about time, times with an S, and half a time, 3.5 years. He's making the point, at that 3.5 year point, in that final 7 years, this is when he's really going to try to do away with the word of God completely, do away with all of the worship completely, and it's going to all be about him saying, I'm God, you have to worship me. And that's when everything's really going to break loose in that final 3.5 years of the destruction of the earth. But notice this. Now he goes on, but here's the good news. I told you there's good news coming, guys. Hang in there. But the court was seated. And they shall take away his dominion, that is the Antichrist, to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, that's us, to the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Isn't that great news? See, that's how we can celebrate. We know what the end is, and also we can celebrate because we know that we're not going to be here when this happens. Notice what it says, verse 28. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. Again, no doubt his countenance changed. This was heavy. We're going to see later on in Daniel, he gets so weighted down by some of the visions that God gives him, he can't even stand up anymore. An angel has to touch him and give him strength to stand up. It's so draining, this spiritual thing that God has shown him. But now again, I want to leave you with good news. Look, this has been another heavy teaching. Again, I said at the beginning, sometimes you have to hear the bad news before you hear the good. God tells the church what's happening. Why would God tell us this? This is scary stuff. You know, listen, God tells us because we need to know, because he wants us to know, and he wants us to be prepared, and he wants us also to be able to share that with others so they can come into the kingdom of God. He doesn't tell it to us so we can't sleep at night. He doesn't tell it to us so we'll be afraid. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You say, well, Mark, how can I not have a spirit of fear when all this is coming? Because Jesus said, pray that you may escape these things that are coming upon the entire earth, meaning you can ask me and I'll remove you. And again, that's a whole other teaching of the rapture of the church. But I do believe that we're going to be taken out, and I believe that's the hope we have, the blessed hope of Jesus, referring to his appearing and yanking the bride out of here and us having the wedding supper of the Lamb for 7 years in heaven while all this is happening on the earth. And then we come back, and our job is simply to enjoy the dinner and then come back and worship and praise. Sign me up. Sign me up. And that's why I say, listen, if you don't know the Lord, what are you waiting on? Why would you wait? Well, I don't know about this. Listen, don't wait too long. He said, I stand at the door and knock. Those that open to me, I will come in and have fellowship. And so he's waiting to have that door open. But I want to finish with a verse to encourage you again, especially the believer that might be afraid when you read these kind of things in Scripture, because all this needs to be put in context. See, John had the same vision Daniel did. And John talks about it in Revelation. And what John says in context of these 10 kings, the Antichrist, and the scene we just read, John says this in Revelation 17:17. Look at this. For God has put it into their hearts. Whose hearts? These kings, these leaders, the Antichrist, the world. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose. In other words, they're not doing something that God can't control. They're not doing something that they're rebelling and we're going to do it and God doesn't like it. God says, I'm going to allow you to do this because you're walking right into my trap. And I'm going to do exactly what I want to do through this. Notice he fulfills his purpose that they can be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. God is basically corralling up all the wicked into his trap. He's going to judge them and he's going to come and establish his kingdom. And if you know Jesus Christ, you're going to be a part of establishing the kingdom and being with him, watching this trap take place. That's reason to rejoice as a believer. And hopefully that kind of helps you in some of the heavy things we've seen today. But again, as we end, guys, I make my appeal to you. Look, if you don't know the Lord and you've not made this commitment, he's knocking on your heart right now. You know it. You can feel your heart rate beating faster. You realize something's going on. I don't know. I just feel like maybe I need to make this decision. Don't resist him. Give in. He loves you. He died for you. All you have to do is say, yes, I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. I repent of it. I'm turning away from my sin. I choose to follow you. I believe you died for me on the cross. I believe you rose again 3 days later, and I give my life to you, Lord. Take me. I'm yours. He says, I've taken it. Your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. You're born again. See you soon in the kingdom. That's exactly what the Lord says. Receive him today if God's moving in your heart, and be encouraged today as a believer that God has shown you what the world would long to see. You know the future, and now you can plan accordingly. Spiritually and in every other way. Let's pray and ask God to bless the teaching of his word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you showed us today. Thank you that you've given us prophecy, Lord. What a blessing prophecy is. God, I know you didn't give us these things to make us afraid. You've given us these things to open our eyes because we're going to escape these things if we know you. But Lord, you want us to be able to warn others. And that's what's happening right now. For those that are listening, you're giving your loving warning. Lord, not necessarily to bring people in by fear. It's by love you want to bring them in the kingdom. But the reality of what's coming and watching it take place, God, use that now to wake people up. And if there's anyone right now hearing this message that needs to wake up, I pray, God, they would respond, that they would run to the cross, that they'd receive what you've done. They would ask forgiveness of their sin, turn from their sin, receive the blood, rejoice that you've resurrected and that they will resurrect with you as they now give their life to you. And if that's you, don't hold back. Do it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today and the power of your spirit working in this place. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've just heard another broadcast of Come to the Table. Whether today is your first time joining us or not, we're delighted you did. We want to give all of our listeners the opportunity to learn more about Jesus, and Come to the Table is the vehicle to do just that. So we just want to say thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching of Daniel by Pastor Mark. Maybe you've heard the story about Daniel in the lion's den or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These stories, like so many others, are found in this Old Testament book. It's also chock full of God's faithfulness. Did you know Pastor Mark teaches on much more than just the book of Daniel? For other messages, just go to our website, thewaymedia.net, and click on Come to the Table tab at the top of the page. From there, you should see links for our podcast available on Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitch. While you're there, feel free to shoot us any questions or comments you have about Jesus or this radio ministry. We'd like nothing more than to talk with you. For a more personal contact, we welcome a call from you. Our number is 865-609-1385. That number again is 865-609-1385. 609-1385. Do you live in the Knoxville, Tennessee area? Do you have a church you call home? You're welcome to join one of our services. We have several services each weekend and also a midweek service every Wednesday night. We'd love to meet you as we gather for a time of fellowship. We'll be back with you soon on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.